This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Imagine there's no heaven. See if you try.
Iconoclasts and debunkers of, well, bunk. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and this is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves and co-host of the show. And since Annie Laurie and I have a radio show, we are on the same wavelength. Yes, and we're both debunkers of, well, bunk. And wasn't it Thomas Edison who said, "Religion is all bunk"?
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and we're your weekly weekend antidote to the religious right. This program broadcasts on Saturday or Sunday in about 25 cities across the country. It originates in Madison, Wisconsin, and streams, so you have many opportunities to listen.
And in case you're wondering, what is the Freedom From Religion Foundation? We are the largest national association of freethinkers, which is like an umbrella term for atheists and agnostics. And we work to keep state and church separate. We always have a lot of cases in the courts. We have an important hot new challenge of a congressional resolution to prominently engrave the words "In God We Trust" at the new Capitol Visitor Center in Washington, D.C. And we have another federal lawsuit of national significance challenging the National Day of Prayer, which was a 1952 law that wrongly was enacted by Congress, requiring the president to tell all of us citizens that we must pray. And no public official has that right. So we encourage you to join us in our work at FFRF.org.
We're pleased to have back on our show Jeff Charlotte, the journalist who wrote the groundbreaking book, The Family, The Secret Fundamentalism at the Heart of American Power. Charlotte's book is about this nefarious group in Washington, D.C., which owns a now infamous house on C Street and hosts the National Prayer Breakfast in Congress. And you may recall that this Brooks C Street house has been in the news a lot lately. It's where South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford, U.S. Senator John Ensign, and former U.S. Representative Charles Pickering have all either lived or gone for religious counseling, in part over their various adulteries.
So they're adults, right? They can commit adulteries.
If you're a fan of Rachel Maddow, as I am, you've probably caught Jeff Charlotte's many appearances recently on her MSNBC news show.
So on the second half of today's show, we'll catch up with Jeff Charlotte. We'll talk to him about all the fundamentalist fallout.
Now we want to turn to an update on the foundation's major state church complaint in Lodi, California. We have a complaint over prayers that are illegally beginning city council meetings in that city, and they're specifically Christian prayers, and the religious right has grabbed onto this issue, and they scheduled a so-called international prayer rally to precede the last city council meeting in Lodi. But our members in the area and other state church supporters in Lodi and Stockton in the Sacramento area also rallied, and we're going to talk with one of the primary organizers of the pro-state church rally in a minute.
So here's some fascinating coverage of the two rallies in Lodi on August the 5th by the local ABC TV Channel 10 station.
Shame on you. Not all Lodians are Christian, whether you like it or not.
Tonight, the battle over prayer and politics comes to a heated confrontation. People in Lodi lashing out over a religious ritual done before every city council meeting.
Laura Cole is live with these two groups. They are at odds, and this goes right to the heart of the Constitution, Laura.
Sam, there was a lot of yelling and fighting between the two groups during the protest, but for the most part, the rallies were peaceful here outside the council chambers, where the two groups basically are fighting over the same issue, prayer, but they have a different way of going about it.
You should go to your church, talk to your pastor, ask for forgiveness for your blasphemies.
Amidst the yelling,
all the saints on every hand, Oh, they're shouting victory.
There was a peaceful protest. On one side, those who think the Lodi City Council should allow the words Jesus Christ to be said during prayer at the meeting.
I think it should be. I mean, he's the reason for and after, and whoever believes in him will never die.
And on the other side, those who'd rather keep God out of government.
Don't make other people whose religions are not yours be subject to religious prayer that doesn't involve you. I think it makes people uncomfortable.
The devil has you blinded. That's
the devil.
What it is.
I think you got triple six on your shirt, lady.
And it's not just adults fighting this battle.
Jesus! Separate church and state.
The issue over prayer at council meetings in Lodi started in May when the mayor sends the city a letter from the Freedom From Religion Foundation in Wisconsin challenging the use of Jesus Christ during prayer. That's when the city asked pastors to refrain from using the words. But he feels this issue is a no-win situation.
I try to be respectful of people's beliefs and feelings, and I think as a council member you have to.
I'd like to invite those who so choose to enter into an of silence with me.
So at tonight's council meeting, the Reverend leading prayer asked for a moment of silence, hoping to put an end to the yelling outside.
Where belief and non-belief are expressed in many different...
But it didn't stop it inside. Now, this item was on the agenda to be talked about tonight. However, the mayor says so many people wanted to speak, they are going to have a special meeting on September 30th, and hopefully once and for all, this issue will be resolved.
Well, don't we wish that issue could be settled once and for all? Somehow I'm doubtful about that.
And I have to say, I think most of that yelling, as far as I could see, was by the Jesus supporters.
After the break, we're going to come back and talk with David Diskin, who was one of the people who helped to organize the rally. One of the free thinkers was there. We'll talk about why he doesn't think there should be prayers on behalf of another in the city of Lodi.
Hi, my name is Alexa from Iowa City, Iowa, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Coming up later in our show, Jeff Charlotte will be on to talk about all the shenanigans at the now infamous C Street House in Washington, D.C., which is owned by a secretive evangelical religious society, which seems to house an inordinate number of born-again political sexual sinners. Congressmen live there as a religious experience and pay only $600 a month in room and board, and they take a vow of secrecy about what goes on in the C Street House. The group is known as The Family, among other names, and this secretive group also seems to have an inordinate influence on U.S. and world affairs. And we'll talk with the author and journalist, Jeff Charlotte, about all of that in the next segment.
And now we want to welcome onto the show a young man, David Diskin, who is a state church advocate in his community, where it's getting to be a really hot issue in Lodi, California. And David contacted us after the foundation made a complaint about prayer, especially Christian prayer, before the city council in Lodi, California, on behalf of another member in Lodi. And he's become a real activist, is willing to be interviewed by the media. And we want to welcome you to the show, David.
Well, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on the show.
So about 10 days ago, there was a great big rally by those who want to keep Jesus prayers going in Lodi. And then there were those of you who want to see the separation of church and state honored. And what was that like?
Oh, it was a lot of fun. We really went into this not knowing what to expect. But the day of the rally, Wednesday evening, we all got out there and we scheduled our rally to start a little bit before the opposing side. There was about 50 of us all holding these beautiful signs that we had made, separate church and state, keep religion out of our government. And the other side was there with the pastors and people singing and playing guitar. And I think there was about 200 folks on their side to the 50 of ours. But the signs certainly made a big difference. It was a lot of fun. It was a really good experience, though.
Well, quality over quantity.
Exactly.
Was it really an international prayer rally, as Focus on the Family called it?
You know, I don't know if it was international or not. I do know that there were a large number of people there that weren't even from the community. I know that on the Facebook page, where they were, you know, they spent a good deal of amount of time getting people from Facebook, there were people who had RSVP'd far away from California. I don't know if they actually made it or not, but I do know that after asking a couple people who were at the rally, there were a good number of people who weren't from Lodi.
Well, maybe there was one Canadian, so they could call it international.
That must have been. Well, there was at least one Canadian on our side. She's a Canadian citizen, but a Lodi resident of, I think, at least 10 years.
So we had an international non-prayer rally.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it was great. Go ahead.
Lodi is a very, very conservative community because we have a few members there. But
it's by Sacramento, isn't it?
Yeah, we're about 45 minutes south of Sacramento. And the interesting statistic, or maybe it's a rumor, I'm not sure, but they say that there are more churches per capita in Lodi than anywhere else in the nation.
Wow.
Well, we have several members, but they're all afraid to speak publicly, and that's why we were really pleased. You know, they're doing things behind the scenes, but they're afraid of losing their jobs, basically. So it was really nice to hear from you because you are willing to speak up. And
it's called bravery.
Well, or feel that you have some job security or whatever. It's great. And so what prompted you, you know, to speak up like this?
Well, I've never really been one of those, you know, in the closet atheists, so to speak. You know, I've never lied about, you know, my beliefs. I've never been shy about them. I don't bring them up to strangers or anything, but and anybody who knows me knows that that I don't believe. But the prompting, I guess, you know, I've never been an activist. I've never been into politics. But when I found out that that this religious extremist group from Colorado is coming to our little Lodi to hold a prayer rally and to get involved in our own local business, that really upset me. You know, it just didn't really go right with me. So that's when I decided, like Annie had said, to contact the FFRF and see how I could help out. And that ended up snowballing into becoming the organizer for our own rally.
Well, and there was also, well, our quiet member in the area who made about 36 signs, and then the freethinkers and other atheists in Sacramento and our members from around the area came in. And they will have to come back because they're going to have a council meeting in September. But now, why do you object to government prayer?
Well, I don't think it's right for a number of reasons. You know, I'm certainly against the concept of religion and government mixing together. And that's because I'm a non-believer, I think. But the other reason, too, is because, you know, there are so many diverse people in Lodi. We're not a Christian community by any means, maybe by a 51% majority. But, you know, there's so many other people of so many different religions, and I don't want them to move to Lodi and come to a council meeting and feel uncomfortable. The people who already are in Lodi, I know that they feel uncomfortable. It doesn't matter if they're an atheist or a agnostic or anything else, because there's also Buddhists who pray differently. There's Sikh who pray differently, Jehovah's Witnesses. And, you know, to come to a council meeting and to hear prayer in Jesus's name, which isn't necessarily even the same Jesus, I think it's offensive to non-believers and believers of different religions.
Isn't it true that the city has a policy that the prayers be non-sectarian, and that the recent problem is that some of the pastors were violating that rule?
Yeah, that's what makes this more interesting, I think, is a couple years ago, the mayor at the time did set that policy. It needs to be a non-denominational prayer. And I think statistically, and maybe Annie can give me the real number, but I think statistically less than half of them followed that policy. It wasn't until the FFRF contacted them back, I think in, was it May or April?
I think it was May.
May,
we've
yeah.
been doing a lot of these, so don't quote me.
That's all right. But between the period of when they started the policy and when the FFRF contacted them, more than half of them specifically said either in Jesus' name or in Our Father, which were clear references to Christianity.
But of course,
against the rules.
We're constrained by the Supreme Court. Doesn't really help us that much, but they do say government prayer, if you have it, has to be non-sectarian. But we don't think there should be prayer at all.
Right.
It simply isn't necessary, and it's embarrassing, and it wastes time, and they can pray on their own. And, you know, it's offensive to non-believers to talk about God and make us bow our heads and all that. So we really are hoping that they will go for a moment of silence. What do you think the chances of that are?
You know, I still have yet to individually talk to the council members, but in brief, quick little discussions and talking to the city attorney, it sounds like they are in agreement. They know that they're not going to win this battle. They certainly don't want to make it a lawsuit because they're not going to win that either, nor do they have the funds to keep going with that. I think that they really are in favor individually, with the exception of maybe one or two, but there's five of them, and I think the majority of them already are in agreement with us. And the other two, well, if they don't vote the same way, that's you know, that's how it is. But I think that we might be able to get them to see our side of it as well.
So you're saying that we have a prayer that we might prevail.
I think we certainly have a chance. Absolutely.
I want to ask you something, David. At the personal level, isn't it just fun to meet other free thinkers and be with other activists just to stand there protesting and look at each other?
No idea.
Isn't that a blast?
I mean, you know, I started this because I wanted to get involved, and I had no idea how many amazing, awesome people I would meet, not just from the Lodi area. I mean, you know, talk about coming out of the woodworks. You know, there have been people that I've known all of my life, and we've never discussed religion. And here they are coming up to me and saying, hey, David, I saw you on the news last night.
Well, thank you so much. We've got to run, but we really appreciate your activism and coming on the show.
Thank you very much for having me here.
And after the break, we'll be back to talk with Jeff Charlotte about the strange appeal that a religious front on C Street in Washington, D.C. seems to have for born-again politicians who are committing adultery.
Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker, and this is Free Thought Radio, and we'll be back after the break, so stay tuned.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. This is Free Thought Radio.
Or if you have a problem with organized religion, there is a new radio show just for you. The new program called Free Thought Radio.
This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker. Free Thought Radio is back.
And we have on the phone with us today a returning guest, Jeff Charlotte. That's spelled like starlet, but with an H. Jeff Charlotte is a contributing editor for Rolling Stone and Harper's, who's written for a variety of newspapers, magazines. He also writes a blog. He is co-author with Peter Manso of the book Killing the Buddha, A Heretic's Bible. His newest book is called The Family, The Secret Fundamentalism at the Heart of American Power. It's an expose on the secretive, wealthy, elite ministry that puts on every year the National Prayer Breakfast. But this group is infiltrating all levels of government with its authoritarian Christian faith.
And if you're like me, you've been enjoying all the fallout over the family and its mysterious house on C Street in Washington, D.C. And our guest, I've been enjoying also his media appearances lately, including the Jon Stewart Show this week. And welcome back to the show, Jeff.
Hi, Annie. Thanks for having me.
Last time we talked to you was when your book just came out, and it wasn't a bestseller at the time, so now we're really doubly honored to have you on with a best-selling book.
So your book is selling really well these days, right?
It is, and I owe it all to John Ensign and Governor Mark Sanford.
That's right. So
with their affairs this summer really brought light to this organization, The Family. Both these men and a third congressman, former congressman Chip Pickering, all linked to the House on C Street in Washington, which is a ministry the family runs for politicians, and which all three men use to sort of help cover up their affairs. And I think that, you know, the great American blood sport of sex scandal is what really turned the light on this group. But hopefully we can move the conversation on and to the broader issues as well.
Now, what makes you so unique is not only that you've written a book about it, but you actually lived, you infiltrated the family. You lived at this C Street brick mysterious place in Washington, D.C. for what, about a month?
Well, I spent time at the house on C Street, but when I say broader issues, I also should speak of greater real estate holdings. The C Street House is just one of the many houses that the family owns in Washington. C Street House is for politicians. Nearby is another townhouse called Jonathan House, where they're grooming political aides. And out in the suburbs is a great big beautiful mansion called the Cedars, $5 million mansion. Around that, there's about 20 properties. I lived in one of those, a house called Ivanwald, where younger men were being groomed for leadership, given congressional mentors. I didn't stay long enough to get my mentor, but I did stay long enough to visit the C Street House, where I actually met Senator Ensign and got to witness firsthand the kind of spiritual counseling that goes on in this place.
Now, do you happen to know if all of these properties, this mansion and all of these other holdings, are tax exempt?
Yes. Yeah,
so
they are.
So, I mean, this is
especially, and I think most troubling, actually, is the C Street House being tax exempt. It's a former convent, actually. It's a townhouse. It's a former convent. There's still stained glass inside. They registered as a church. They provide below-market housing for congressmen. And their own documents, they're explicit about doing this, is saying, look, we're going to do this as a service to congressmen to help them out, to save them money. That's the kind of thing that's supposed to be accounted for as a gift. That's lobbying.
Now,
they're not registered as a lobby. And it really goes beyond that. I mean, they not only provide housing, they provide a maid service from Christian college girls. There's a chef. There's a big screen TV. It's nice digs. It's, you know, you need a place to stay in Washington and you can get yourself a room there. I recommend it.
Well, that's not the only services they're providing there, apparently, are they?
Yeah. Talk a little bit more. Just refresh the listeners' memories about what has gone on there.
Yeah. I think the first news to come out was Senator Ensign, fourth-ranking Republican, a guy with presidential ambitions, a senator from Nevada. Turns out he was having an affair with one of his aides, seems to have perhaps improperly used campaign funds to sort of buy her silence, and then his family, a very wealthy casino family, added additional funds. And the reason we know about this is that her husband, frustrated by his inability to resolve the situation, went public with the fact that he had actually gone to Senator Ensign's residence in Washington, the C Street House, and turned to the family to help mediate this. In fact, it charges that it was Senator Tom Coburn, another resident of the C Street House, who had urged what seemed to be these payoffs.
And it was a lot of money.
It was a lot of money. And
$100,000 from, was it?
It was
$96,000
from the parents. And that was spread around the mistress's family to avoid tax laws. There's an additional $25,000 payment that may have violated campaign funds. And we don't really know if that's all of it, because according to Doug Hampton is the man who's wife was sleeping with Senator Ensign and was a longtime former aide of Senator Ensign himself, a good friend of Senator Ensign. Senator Coburn said that the proper sum would be $1.2 million, that would be needed to make the family whole. You know, in most circles, this is called pimping. I mean, this is prostitution. You know, how much is it going to cost for your sexual services and your silence? In the family, this is almost a religious transaction. It's illustrative of their kind of free market fundamentalism. Well, that was just the first of these, because then we had Governor Sanford down in South Carolina, disappears from his post, abandons his state. We discover that he's with his mistress in Argentina, and as part of his confession, he tries to sort of cleanse himself of sin by saying, don't worry, everybody, I'm seeking spiritual counseling.
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
Yes, right, exactly. Exactly. And moreover, he adds, he says, and don't worry, I'm like King David. You can trust me. He actually compares himself to King David, which
well,
is...
King David had many, many wives and concubines.
Well, when I heard that, I knew that Sanford had been involved with the family. There he is talking about the house on C Street. But the King David analogy was what really quite frightening. In the book, I tell the story of meeting with a man named David Coe.
Founder?
He's the son of the founder, sort of the heir apparent to leadership. He's been in the news as Senator Ensign's spiritual counselor. He was the guy who sort of guided Senator Ensign through his cover-up. He uses King David to illustrate what it means to be a member of the family, which is to say, chosen by God for your position, not so much elected as selected. And he said, he says, it's like King David. King David was actually not a good guy. This is their reading of the story. It says, King David seduces another man's wife. That's the Bible story of Bathsheba. And then arranges to have the guy, the husband of his mistress, murdered, killed. And they said, but he is in power. And he says, that's what it means to be chosen. So when Governor Sanford said, I'm like King David, he means that he's above morality. Morality is for little people. That God's chosen.
And now what's the link between Mark Sanford and the C Street House?
Well, in his public confession, he was, I think Sanford's a little bit off the rails. You know, the first rule of C Street is you don't talk about C Street. And on the other hand, you also, if you're a governor of a state, aren't supposed to run off on a expensive plane to see your mistress in Argentina. I think Governor Sanford fell in love, and I think he's breaking all the rules right now. He did, in his attempt to sort of say that I'm still a good pious man, he says, I've been seeking spiritual counseling at C Street. That in fact, the C Street men knew about the affair for many months before the public did, which on the personal level is fine. But when it comes to the matter of dereliction of duty, Governor Sanford abandoning his post, not notifying anybody, creating a security emergency in the state, that's another matter, and they cover it up for that.
Well, and not to mention the great hypocrisy of all these Bible studies and born-again politicians meeting and patting themselves on the back, and here they are all
comparing little black
committing
books.
Adultery. Yeah. And,
right? Well, you know, the worst of these is former Congressman Chip Pickering of Mississippi. And Chip Pickering not only used the C Street House to help sort of put a pious veneer on him and to cover up his affair, according to allegations made by his wife, now suing for divorce, he actually used the C Street House to meet his mistress. And it gets even nastier than that. His mistress was the heiress to an executive of a corporation called Cellular South, major telecom company. And Chip Pickering left Congress to become a lobbyist for Cellular South. So, I mean, it's really, it almost gets sort of incestuous. You know, the connections sort of just spiral out and spiral out. One of the men who came to the defense of these three philandering politicians was another politician named Steve Largent, former congressman from Oklahoma, who was one of the loudest to call for Clinton's resignations when he had his affair, and now says these guys should get a pass. Largent, meanwhile, is a head of a telecom industry lobbying association, or association for telecom companies, in which capacity he's been paying for travel by his C Street brother, Chip Pickering. I mean, these guys are really scratching one another's backs. And
Now, we wanted to come back after this break, and we want to talk more about, I think, sort of the sinister implications of the family, which you have in your book, and I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio. We're speaking with journalist Jeff Charlotte, who actually lived at one of the family's commodious places in Washington, D.C. It's a powerful Christian fundamentalist group that puts on the annual National Prayer Breakfast, and who knows what else it does. We'll be right back.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio. Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. And we're talking with one of our favorite journalists and authors, Jeff Charlotte, who wrote the book The Family, The Secret Fundamentalism at the Heart of American Power, about all these strange goings-on at the C Street House in Washington, D.C., which seems to attract a lot of born-again sinners. So, Jeff, is your book going to be out in paperback soon, or is it out now?
Oh, it's out in paperback right now, yeah.
Oh, that's...
It's widely available. People should grab a copy.
Now, I want to say, in addition to all we've been talking about, all these scandals and things, doesn't it seem a little, like, weird or freaky that these are our government officials, and they're running our government, and they're supposed to be transparency and accountability, but there's this kind of shadowy thing happening. I mean, it's kind of like goosebumps when you think about the secret society.
Yeah, yeah, I think it is, and you know, the fact is that this organization does not believe in transparency or accountability. Senator Jim DeMint of South Carolina, who's been living in the C Street House for many years, defends it as a place where congressmen are held accountable, and you have to ask, to who? There's no accountability behind closed doors, and that's exactly what the family does. Another congressman who has defended the group is Congressman Tony Hall, involved with the National Day of Prayer, and he says the reason the family works is precisely because we are behind closed doors. The leader of the group, Doug Coe, says the more invisible you can make your organization, the more influence it will have. That's true. That's why we have laws requiring lobbyists to register as such, and the family is affecting policy on a national and international scale, yet without any accountability, any transparency.
Is the family an actual church denomination?
No, no. And not only is it not a church denomination, I think this would actually unsettle some conservative Christians out there. Doug Coe, the leader of the group, says he hates church. Church is too democratic. Church, In a church, you can have a rich man and a poor woman sitting next to one another in the pews. God doesn't work that way. They believe that Christianity has been very widely misunderstood, that Jesus did not come to preach to the masses, but only to a select few who would then dispense the blessings to the rest of us.
So if they are a group, how do they register with the government?
They don't at all.
You mean they don't fill out 990 forms? They're not a 501c3?
They do 990 forms. The 990 forms are pretty vague. For instance, on one of their foundations, the Fellowship Foundation, you see, I think it's 2007, 2006, $12 million is accounted for the task of making friends. I don't have that deduction on my tax form, the making friends deduction. And $12 million, you got to say, they're not really your friends if you have to spend $12 million to get them to hang out with you.
Well, which is really lobbying, is what you're saying.
Yeah, they're acting like a lobby. They're actually paying for congressmen to travel overseas. Senator Ensign, working with the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, we dug up Senator Ensign's travel records. He's been traveling around the world on the family's dime. The Las Vegas Sun confronted him. His defense was that he really didn't know anything about the organization, which had been paying for him to travel around the world. And it never occurred to him to ask any questions. So it's sort of like, Annie, I said to you, hey, here's $20,000. I want you to go off to Lebanon for a couple weeks. And you just said, okay. Didn't ask why I'm giving you $20,000. So we sort of either have a senator being disingenuous, as we know Senator Ensign is now, or maybe just the dimmest bulb on the porch.
Now, I know I've probably asked you this question before, but with all this notoriety and how weird it is, do you think that it's ever going to make a dent on the attendance at the National Prayer Breakfast, which is the primary public event that the family puts on? I mean, everyone turns out, the president usually, the members of Congress, people from around the world, and it gives them great credibility.
Yeah, I don't think we've hit the stage where we're going to really be able to put a big dent in the National Prayer Breakfast. I think certainly the C Street Ministry is probably done. It's hard to imagine the congressman is going to move to Washington now and tell his wife, says, honey, I'm going to move into this house. You know, the place where they cover up
adultery,
your affairs, and they talk about Hitler and so on. Anyway, that's where I'm going to live. No one can do this at this point. And in fact, we've already seen Congressman Bart Stupak. A couple of the conservative Democrats have been the first to sort of run away from him. Bart Stupak up in Michigan, who's been living there for 7 years, now claims that, gosh, he just never noticed anything was going on. Congressman Heath Shuler, who was only too happy to be identified with the C Street House in the pages of the Fundamentalist World magazine, now tells his hometown paper he can neither confirm nor deny where he lives. Apparently, he just doesn't know where he lives. There's a box, and he goes to it at night. So I think there's some pushback on that level. I mean, the fact it's good news when congressmen see it as poisonous to their career to be associated with this group. Whether that reaches the National Prayer Breakfast, I don't know, because the National Prayer Breakfast was founded precisely to not look like a family event. Your invitation comes on congressional letterhead.
Well,
if you're a reporter like me, you RSVP through the White House.
See, this,
people think it's an official event.
This, well, right. So I think we're going to complain about that, because they shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, no. I mean, I've spoken to congressmen who said, well, the National Prayer Breakfast goes back to the beginning of the Republic. No, it doesn't. It goes back to 1953 when Billy Graham strong-armed Eisenhower, who didn't want to do it because he knew it was a violation of a separation of church and state. But Eisenhower owed political favors. He was the first Republican in that period of the 20th century to have an evangelical vote arranged for him. And so he went, hoping that it wouldn't become a tradition.
And
that's exactly what it became.
It sure has.
We're talking with Jeff Charlotte, and his book is called The Family. And what's the subtitle of the book, Jeff? The Secret?
The Secret: Fundamentalism at the Heart of American Power. It's sort of very, very dramatic. But the reality of this group is, sadly, a little alarming.
Well, thank you so much for your work.
Thank you, Annie. Thanks, Dan.
We also want to thank our engineer today. Our engineer is the hardworking Dan Ginsberg. Our announcer is Buzz Kemper. Listen to the show archived or listen to the podcast at ffrf.org/radio.
As always, we invite you to join the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Your membership or donation keeps Free Thought Radio on the air. It helps pay for our vital litigation work to keep state and church separate. You can ask for more information at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. You can request a sample of our current August issue of Free Thought Today. And we have lots of winning high school essays that we awarded students this year. If you're a regular listener, we hope you'll join. We'll be back next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting. And we plan to interview, who is that next week?
Daniel Everett, the missionary who got converted to atheism by the tribe in the Amazon.
So don't miss it.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope someday.